Thank you for taking the time to visit us online. We would love to meet you in person, so here's some information just for you. Sunday school begins at 9:30 a.m., and our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m., and this is all happening at 6310 Lyons Road, Garland, Texas. We hope that you enjoy this message by Pastor Troy DeFeo. Have a great day.
Well, I want to thank our praise team for another just a great job each and every single week. It's good to hear the flute. Also, thank you so much. Well, this morning I'm continuing my series, The Lord of Our Life. The Lord of Our Life and what that looks like to each and every single one of us. This morning, I want to just kind of pause. I want us just to kind of take in who we're actually talking about. So often we come to church with different feelings, sometimes different experiences. Some of us are coming here possibly with some hurts and some decisions that we're trying to make. You had an altercation, a fight with a sibling or a spouse this morning. Maybe some of us are coming here with health issues. Maybe things are going actually really well for you today. And you're thinking, thank God, you know, it's a blessing no matter what. But when things are going pretty good and you can look at it, and maybe you are here this morning just to draw near to God. I mean, we got this one time, we got this this day that we look at and we look forward to come and to honor and to just worship the Lord Jesus. To be able to give back in an offering, to be able to support the missions and ministries that we have here. But to be able to just to do what we just did is just to sit back and just to worship the true living God. See, for He's Lord of our life. He's Lord of our life. And wouldn't it be awesome if every single day always kind of felt like this? I say every single day before you went off to work, you could start off your day like this. 1 Timothy 1:15 through 17 says this. And Paul's talking and saying, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. I love that right off the bat. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst, Paul says. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, and in case you forgot that again, the worst of the sinners, he says, I repeat, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would what? Believe on him and receive eternal life. And this is who we're coming to worship this morning. Now to the King eternal, the immortal, the invisible, the only God, to be honored and glory forever and ever. Amen. This is who we're coming before this morning. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the time that we can come and just bow our hearts and worship you. And Lord, whatever is going on in our lives today, whatever is going on around that we see, I pray that today would be a day that we can just let everything go to the side right now and allow us just to be focused on the King Eternal. I pray that, Father, that you would just allow your words to open up our hearts and to open up our minds. I pray that, God, that as one, as a body of believers, Lord, that we be unified today, that we would understand what your unity in one spirit means so that others may believe. Today is your day, Lord. Will you speak to us? In Christ's name, amen. I want everybody to go ahead and do this with me. It will actually help me to calm my nerves too. So I'd like for everybody just to take a deep breath. Go ahead. One more time. What does it do to you to know that we are worshiping a God that determines each breath that we take? What does it do to us to think about each and every breath that we just took and the ones that we're going to take and continue to take is all determined from the one who we are worshiping right now? To put that in perspective, to understand that each breath is given by Him. And however much time that we have right now, to use that to the fullest. I want to share something this morning as I came across it. Actually, it started triggering something even on Mother's Day when we were having lunch. And just made me kind of stop and just kind of reflect on some things. And I don't know if you're going to be able to relate to this, but I hope that you will be. I hope that you'll be able to look in your own life to be able to see where God may be moving through you at this time. I want you to turn to Philippians 2. Philippians 2, 1 through 5. If you got your Bibles, I love hearing the turning of pages. I know the Lord does too, but if you don't have them, they'll be put up on the screen. Philippians chapter 2, 1 through 5. And above that scripture, it may end up saying something like imitating that of Christ. Or it may say unity through humility. And I like reading the headings of what these people put at the top of them, because it allows you to have an idea of where maybe you're going to be reading from and what you're going to be understanding. But so often, even as I did this study through Philippians previously, even as I spoke about it, it wasn't until this past Mother's Day did it really actually maybe stop and really think of something. And hopefully you'll catch the same thing. Philippians chapter 2, 1 through 5. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete. Hold on to that. Make my joy complete. Being like-minded, having the same love, being one in the Spirit and one in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you in the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Paul is saying, if we're going to be united with Christ, if we're going to understand His truest love, if you want to make my joy complete, then I need you to be like-minded, having the same love that I have for you and for other people. And as I begin to start looking at that, is that something that I do all the time in my life? And when I look at my vertical relationship with God, am I being one in spirit with Him to be able to have one spirit with other people? Because I know if I'm not having this vertical relationship going very well, then it seems like the horizontal relationship with other people is going to look a little bit different. I want you to think about when you leave here from church, or you leave from here in a great worship song, or when you have your prayer time and that vertical relationship is really going well, and you say, you know what, I feel like I'm really getting close to God, then I can imagine your next 5 minutes or your next 10 minutes with other people is probably going to go pretty well. It's right on your heart. It's on the tip of your tongue. It's being expressed in lots of ways through love. So being one in spirit and purpose. Paul is saying Christ wants us to imitate the same model for the world. He wants us to become family. He wants us to become family. And so often I get tripped up with just my own self, with my own ambitions, my own life. Even my own church. But he says, consider others better than yourselves. Don't look at your own interests, but look at the interest of others. It wasn't until this past week when I was reminded that, am I praying for other churches? Or do I just pray for my church? Are we praying for the world, or are we just praying for our world that's around us? It's okay for us to be thinking about other churches. What's going on in Mesquite? What's going on in Rockwall? What's going on in Dallas? What's going on in other churches in Garland? What's going on across the street from us? It's okay for us to be thinking, I want you to fill those seats up, Lord. It's okay that our seats are not all filled up. You'll bring who you want, but I want you to speak through those other pastors, through those other missionaries, through those other people. We want you to fill those people up because they're all in one spirit. We're all being unified together. We're all working together. And it's just not about our church. It's about all the churches becoming the church. We need to be thinking about all of our family, not just our family, but other families that are struggling, that are going through some hard times. To get our mind just off of ourselves and to begin to start praying and thinking about other people as well. He wants us all to become family, blended but united, poor but rich together, strangers yet brothers and sisters in the Lord. And on Mother's Day, I stopped and we were taking pictures. And it wasn't until I actually stopped and I saw our own personal family. And there's a picture up here, I think, that will come up of just our own family. And you'll notice that our family is getting a little bit blended. This is my true family. And when I stopped and I looked at that, I was like, this is, it's not just a middle class white family that's all coming together. It's something a lot more powerful. And this is just our own family. And it's not like we like try to make that happen. It's just something that happened. Something that was put together by God. And wouldn't it be great if we intentionally did that as a church, if we did that in our schools, if we did that in our work relationships, in our all of our families and everything, that we welcomed other people being blended together, knowing that we're all a part of this together. But it's so much more that God wants us to do. What if I was reaching out more? What if I was praying more? What if I was helping more? What if I was letting people into my life more? What if I was trusting more? What if I was sharing Christ more? What if I was willing to go new places like Mexico and China and Africa? What does it look like to truly live as Jesus did? See, what was his urgency really all about? See, if I read this book correctly, if I read this book correctly, with the spirit of oneness with God, then I'm supposed to do what Christ modeled. If I read this book correctly and do what it says, the world should be blown away by my love, by our love with each other, right? What if I was reaching out to the homeless to bring them to my home? What if I was going to the VA and sitting down with people in the hospital? What if I was to welcome a stranger into my family because their family was treating them not so great? What if I was a student and I was sitting at a lunch table and I keep seeing that person all year long sitting there by themselves and I brought them over? What if I was at the intersection and I was pushing a car because every other person was passing by about 40 miles an hour? Would I be willing to sacrifice my body for the sake of changing one soul into heaven? For the sake of Christ? Before this year ends, there will literally be thousands of people, martyrs, that will die, that will give up their life for Christ. Just in North Korea, Africa, Asia, and the Middle East, there will be thousands of people that will give their life for people who they don't even know, but for the sake of Christ. There will be hundreds of people that will give their life for our country, for people that they don't even know. What is my life supposed to be like to be able to give to other people? My daughter has a friend. Her name is Hope, a fitting name. And her mom, his name is Carrie. And we were invited to go over to their house a few weeks ago, and we were brought some stuff, and we were getting some drinks, and I was looking at the refrigerator. I was snooping is what I was doing. And on their calendar, it said surgery, Carrie's surgery. And so we sat down, we're eating and we're talking, and I thought, well, since I've already snooped, I might as well talk about it. I see that you're having surgery. Tell us about it. And she said, yeah. And I said, well, what is everything okay? Is everything all right? And she said, well, you know, I serve on staff as a children's director, and, you know, and we as a church, we have staff meetings, and we're going through prayer requests and cards, and a prayer request came in, and it said, I'm in need of a kidney. Please pray for me. I'm in need of a kidney. Please pray for me. So she did. She went home and she continued to pray about it. And she kept praying about it. And then finally she went to that person and said, you know, I noticed your prayer request. And she goes, if it's a match, I'll give you my kidney. Christians should not be shocked about this, though. Christians should not be shocked about this. As much as I was blown away listening, sitting at the table about this woman blown away that she's about to give her kidney on May 24th, I shouldn't be shocked about that. But I was. It wasn't a family member. It wasn't a close friend. It was a prayer request in a larger church that came in that says, I am in need of prayer. I need a kidney. And this is what Paul was talking about. This is what Jesus meant. Do not look at your own interests, but also to the interests of others. But in humility, consider others better than yourselves. This is what the world looks at. Even Christians who know God say, no way. That's unbelievable that someone would be willing to give up their kidney. But here's the deal. We're supposed to stand out. We're supposed to make people stop. We're supposed to make people pause. We're supposed to make people reflect. What is going on around here? Why are you so different? Why do you have so much joy right now when all this is going on in your life? You should be depressed. You should be upset. You should be whining about it. You should be crying. But instead, you have so much joy. You're giving so much thanks. You're not thinking about yourself. You're not whining about everything. You're still praying for other people. See, the world is going to say, why would you give up your kidney? What happens if your other kidney goes bad? Now you don't have another kidney. Now you're going to need to depend on another kidney from somebody. And you may not be that lucky later on if you give up both of them. If you give up yours and someone goes bad. I wonder if that went through Carrie's mind. See, so often we get caught up in our own kingdoms that we can't see what His kingdom is up to. And then I was reminded of this scripture. If you'll turn with me to John 17, 20 through 24. John 17, 20 through 24. This is Jesus' prayer. Listen to this powerful prayer from Jesus Christ to His Father in heaven. Listen to what He's actually praying for. And guys, this is what, right here, is what began to start changing my week. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will what? Believe in me through their word, that they may all believe, that they may all be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that you may also believe, may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in what? One. And that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them and you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you have gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. I read this every funeral I do. Every funeral I do, I read that last part. That you gave me and you may be with me and where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. I want everybody to be where I am, he says. Just like me and my Father are one in spirit, I want my children to be one in spirit, verse 22 says. Think about the people that you just put up with every day. Anybody out there that just kind of put up with some people? Think about the people that you dearly love. Think about the people that you cannot even stand, but you can even put up with them. You just can't stand them. You know, you hide. You run away from these type of people. And then you take a scripture like that, and then I want you to think you may be spending eternity with those people. Because, see, Jesus is always doing radical things, because as I read at the very beginning, no one would have ever believed that Apostle Paul would have given his life. And he kept continuing saying, I am the chief sinner. See, even the chief sinners can still find grace and be saved and have their life changed. You may be spending eternity with these people. Jesus is saying, for these people to know me, for these people to believe in me, I need you to be one with each other. Are you catching that? How am I supposed to be one with each other when I don't even want to be near the person? When I don't even want to talk with that person? When I am hiding from that person? When I am running from that person? How am I supposed to be one with these people? When I get with this pastor or when I get with this church, he's worried about the numbers and he's trying to compare his church to my church and we don't do this and they do that. How am I supposed to be one with them when they don't really want to be one with me? Verse 21, he said, that is my prayer. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you sent me. That is too big of a miracle. That's way too big of a miracle for that to happen. See, why would our oneness with each other help point people to believe in God? Why? Why would our oneness with each other help point people to believe in God? It doesn't seem like it would be right. It doesn't seem like that is even possible to do. You guys know the same world that we live in. How is that possible to do that? I would rather show an atheist or a deist or an agnostic. I would rather show them a person that's struggling with their faith. Let me tell you a little bit about how Jesus fulfilled prophecy from the Old Testament to the New Testament. That may be a little bit easier. Let me give you some scientific evidence here that God is real. Let me explain space. Let me show you how human life works. Let me tell you about the atoms in the cell. Let me tell you about archaeological findings. Let me do that. Let me prove to you that some miracles existed. Let you sit there with Earl Burnett and show you how he was supposed to be dead in 6 months. Instead, he's had cancer how many times? Four times? Four times, and he's still alive right now, doing better than me. Let me tell you about that miracle. If you don't believe that, then I don't know what else. But trying to make the whole world become one, that's just, I don't know. I don't know if I can logically look into that, that the whole spirit to be one, to become family, to love thy neighbor as myself, to be able to give up my life as a martyr for Christ and for other people, for me to give up my life for people that I don't even know, for me to give up a kidney to a stranger but just because it came on a card in a prayer request. I don't know if that's even possible. Is this really what Jesus is saying to us? For the world to believe in me, to become one. See, maybe the problem is my heart. Maybe the problem is I'm not seeing what God sees with spiritual eyes. Watch this. What if the spiritual eyes need to be put on? What if we need to open up that box, that free gift, to be able to see what was meant, to be able to be seen? I can't see at all without these or my contacts. And I sure cannot see. Right now, you guys are all very blurry to me. And the world looks this way every day. They don't see what the spiritual eyes see. They don't see what we as believers see. Because I am telling you right now, I can barely make out anybody right now. You guys are all blurry. But when I can put on this free gift of spiritual eyes, and I don't have to look at and realize that everybody, even though we may be looking different, and there may be different colors, and there may be different ethnicities and races, and there may be different age groups, and all these different things, and spiritual levels, and all this stuff, God sees us as all the same, that He loves each and every single one of us, and He wants every single one of us to be one in spirit and to be able to see with the eyes that He sees. He doesn't see like this. He never has. He's always seen with spiritual eyes. And He wants each one of us to open it up. And see, it's Satan that's always trying to divide us all up, to worry about ourselves, to discriminate against others, to split families apart, to build cliques at schools and work and our churches, to separate people by color and race and disability, and who's rich and who's poor, who's Republican and who's Democrat. He never had it like that. He never meant for it to be like that. See, when I was doing college ministry, I got the opportunity to be a head young life leader. And I had the opportunity to run a group and at a high school and reach out. And so for years, I was reaching out to these kids. And I really, to be honest with you, I didn't really want to hang out a lot with the actual football players and people. So the Lord just so happened to open up an opportunity to hang out with all these skaters that were like totally goth, all black. I mean, everything was crazy about them and stuff. I mean, they didn't look anything like me. But somehow God allowed them every single day, every time I saw them, twice a week to take them to a lunch. And they hung out with me, and they filled my car up, and I got to take them out to lunch and build a ministry. And then the Lord opened up another door where I got to end up because of this girl was a leader with us in Young Life, and her brother said, "Hey, I wanted you to, you know, to hang out with him and to disciple my brother." And he so happened to be the quarterback of the school, and I said, "I'd love to spend time with him." And he started bringing all his friends to Young Life once a week. And he started hanging out with me. And every single day we spent all this time together. Got to know each other really, really well. And then all of a sudden, the area director came to me and said, "Look, we have a problem." And I said, "Well, what's the problem?" And he said, "Well, I'm going to have to confront your girl leader." I said, "This person?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "What's going on?" And he said, "Well, she's doing some things that's not really the way, and she's broken some of the things that, you know, with being a leader and stuff, and we're going to have to confront that." He said, it could cost you. He goes, I know that there's over 100 people coming every single week, but it's going to be it may be bad. He said, we need to pray about it, but I have to confront her. And sure enough, the area director came and he confronted her, and she looked at him and said, well, I quit. I don't want to be a part of Young Life anymore. And he goes, well, I was expecting you to probably say that. And he said, she said, not only that, but, you know, the fact that Troy didn't come and talk to me about it, which I didn't even know about at the time, go ahead and tell him also that my brother, who he's been spending once a week with, discipling, he won't be coming back either. And he said, well, I was expecting that too. So he came back to me, and sure enough, that's exactly what happened. She stopped coming. We were 2 years into the ministry, a flourishing ministry. 100 people coming once a week, hearing the word, all different types of people coming to be a part of this awesome, neat ministry that God had put together. See, Satan and the world's motivation is to look out for number one. God's motivation, though, is for the believers in Christ to unite as one. I want to say that again. Satan and the world's motivation is to look out for number one. God's motivation is for believers in Christ to unite as one. This book is filled with things that do not seem right. Becoming one does not seem right. It doesn't seem logical. It shouldn't work. None of these things in this word should work. But they did. Because God's power is not anything like that. Anything else out there. The Holy Spirit in our life is nothing short of being miraculous and powerful. It shouldn't work. It should not work to march around a city 7 times. It should not work to split the sea in half to safely get to the other side. It should not work to be swallowed by a great whale and live. It should not work to build a large boat in the desert and get a bunch of animals together. It should not work to calm a storm with 2 words, be still. It should not work to walk on water when the waves are crashing by. It should not work to create the whole universe in 6 days. It should not work to create a man out of dust and a woman out of his ribs. It should not work to raise a man from the dead. It should not work for a small shepherd boy to kill a giant with the first stone he threw. It should not work on May 24th when she gives up her kidney and someone is going to end up living. It should not work when this guy, right, where you just saw, where he should quit the ministry and get all of his friends to stop coming because of his sister's problem and sin. It should not work. But it did. Because everybody kept coming except for them two. I didn't lose anybody. Not a single person stopped coming just because they too stopped coming. Because of God's power and the idea of oneness, it changes lives. And guess what? People end up believing. People believed. It's not supposed to work to be one in the Spirit. But see, if God can make all of these things happen, then why can't God make this happen too? He wouldn't have said it if it wasn't true. I don't know about you, but I want to be one with God. I want to be able to see with spiritual eyes. I want us to be one together at this church, to be unified. I want us to see each other with spiritual eyes. Our youth, I want you to be able to see each other and your parents and your friends that God puts in your life. Maybe you're seeing yourself as better. Maybe you see yourself divided. Maybe you see yourself different. But when you become one, when you become unified, people begin to start believing. But here's the deal. We have to be one with God first. And as the praise team comes up at this time, I want to ask you, are you one with God right now? Are you one with God right now? Only you can answer that question. Are you one with God so that way you can be one with other people? Because see, you can't be one with other people unless you are one with God. It doesn't work that way. No one will see you the way that you need to be seen until you become one with God. Until you put on the spiritual eyes. And if you have the spiritual eyes, then we should already know that we have got to be one in the Spirit. That's what changes our world. That's what changes our world. So that's my prayer, is that each one of us, would put on your spiritual eyes. Put on your spiritual eyes today. Throughout your week, wherever you go, be reminded. See, this is a great reminder for me to every time I put on my glasses. Each time. See people the way that God sees people. It'll help people believe. Let's pray. Our Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to open up your word. It's an opportunity, Lord, for us to just to see what the power of having this one in spirit means. It may seem too far-fetched. It may seem like it's not possible. It seems like it's too miraculous. It seems like it's not even logical to even do it. But that's when you show up. That's when you begin to reveal yourself. And we pray that today, Lord, that we start with ourselves first and then throughout this church and through our families, that we will become one with each other. That we'll begin to pray for our world, that we'll pray for other believers, we'll pray for other churches to combine, to be unified together. So that the ultimate goal is so that people will believe in you. This is your time right now, Lord. This is your invitation to reach out to people to help give that gift, just like that boy in that video, just waiting for that gift, waiting for those glasses, waiting for those glasses to be able to see what he was always missing. I pray that today will be a day that no one has to miss out on that gift. And we give you this time right now, in Christ's name. Amen. Mm-hmm.